Mutto at Midnight with your host, Mutto Sasquatch. Mutto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Mutto in sacred ceremony. And now, Mutto at Midnight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. Welcome to my program. This is Mutto at Midnight. I am your host, Mutto Sasquatch. It's going to be a fun evening tonight. Fun. Till our daddy takes our T-Bird away. But before I start, let me get you the boilerplate here. If I can find it. I just feel like I ought to share this, because this is with insightsradio.com, not mudtoradio.com. I share this channel with other people, and I like to promote what they're doing as well, as best I can. So I have this little piece of verbiage here that comes from the website, the withinsightsradio.com website, that sort of explains what that organization is all about better than I do. So, let me read it off for you. Withinsightsradio.com is your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. We cover a wide variety of topics surrounding metaphysics, natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, talk radio, and much more. Withinsightsradio.com is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. The flagship show, I guess, would be Holistic Metaphysical Forum and Intuitive Readings with Iggy Garcia and David Two Crows, which occurs Mondays at 7 p.m. I believe the lovely Adriana has joined that show now as well. And she has her own show, The Lion's Lair, which occurs on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., but not every Wednesday. It's only once a month. It's just kind of tough to make up a schedule for With Insights, because a lot of people don't do their shows on a regular schedule. That's kind of the interesting thing about working with light workers. I do my best to be here every Friday night / Saturday morning, depending on how you look at it. Otherwise, give a shout out to Mark the Rabbit Hole with Mark Matheny, our resident astrologer, which occurs Friday afternoons at noon. That's another weekly show. I can give sort of plugs to the weekly shows, because I know they're going to be there. Here's a Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe with Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny Tuesdays at noon. Probably the best way to get a real handle on the schedule is to go to Blog Talk Radio and look at our schedule of upcoming episodes on withinsightsradio.com. But even that isn't the greatest way, because I know I don't upload my episode until like a couple of hours before it happens. So, and it doesn't appear on the schedule until it's been uploaded. So I don't know. We're not making it easy for you, are we? That's something we could work on, I suppose. But in any case, check out the schedule, and check out the other programs on the channel. You may like them. They're quite a bit different from what I do. I do just this sort of talking thing. The other shows tend to be more active, more participative. Often they're done live, and they can talk to the people out there. I just kind of talk at you. But in any case, I keep saying that. That's something, another thing that's crept into my vocabulary. In any case, is I got to be cognizant of that, and bring variety to my speech, because that's all I have. As I said, I'm just speaking. So if I speak poorly, you're not going to come back and listen anymore, are you? And I want you to listen, because you're all I have. But anyway, back to the show. A couple things to cover today. I had Chris, for all of you who tuned into the birthday show last week, thank you very much. Had some nice comments about that. Some people did. I can't remember if I mentioned this on the show, but I had put it up on Facebook that for my birthday, I wanted people to send me pictures of a 1965 Buick Riviera, which is my favorite car. And a number of people did. Thank you for that. If you didn't, I'm sure you meant to. And I give you full credit for that. I'm going to talk, before the show is over, I'm going to talk about the presidential election. And I can't make this promise because I'm very bad at keeping promises, but my intention, I'm setting an intention to make this the only time I talk about the presidential election, because I find it very tiresome. So I'm going to say what I have to say now and then just shut up about it. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep that promise, but it's not a promise, it's an intention. So I don't know if I can fulfill that intention. I will work and do my best to do so. But I'm going to say the same word again. Intend to make this the only time that I talk about the presidential election. I need to talk about card number 5 as well. Today I have drawn the 5th card of my 8-card spread for my sort of educational, self-educational tarot reading activity, which I'm stretching out over a period of months because I'm sure that's what you would want me to do. So I'm going to talk about that as well. In fact, let's talk about that first, and then we'll get to the dull, boring presidential election stuff. I drew last night. First of all, let me fill you in. Right now, as I record this, it's 7:47 in the morning. I woke up and I realized that. Well, let me back up. The habit I've fallen into is to record the show a couple of hours before it's to go on the air. Now, I mean, I've got the whole week. I could record it on Sunday and not have to worry about it anymore. Somehow, I don't seem to have the drive to do that. What happens is I record it at about 10 p.m. on Friday. It takes about a half an hour, and then I send it up to the Blog Talk Radio website. And they do some processing. I guess they go through it to see if I've included any copyrighted material. And then they post it, and as I was saying before, it would show up on our list of upcoming episodes at that point. And I put a time on it. It's to go out, at midnight, and a Facebook announcement goes out, and all kinds of other promotional stuff happens, and then dozens of people tune in to hear the show. So that's the same pattern I was going to follow today until I realized there is an event tonight. My brother is in a show. Seems like every other week he's in a show. Because he doesn't have enough work to do with his 3 jobs. But anyway, I'm going to go, and it's a one-man show. He's the only person in it. So we're going to go see him in a show tonight, and my daughter is coming up to see the show. And she's going to have dinner with the family, and she's bringing her new boyfriend. So, I need to torture him, and then we're going to go see the show. And then I was so bold as to ask my brother if I might join him and the people who are producing the play. I meant play. I think I said play. I'm sorry about that. It's kind of early in the morning. I'm going to go out with them after the show, and that's going to take me well past 10 o'clock where I'd record it, and probably past midnight, the point where I could do the show live. I realized this as I'm waking up at about 7 o'clock this morning. I said, well, shit, I've got to record the show now because this is the only opportunity I'm going to get. I have to go to the library and write some thank you notes from people I talked to at the job fair yesterday, as Mudtoe's stepping up his efforts to be gainfully employed. So all that has to happen. Then I got to get all my stuff packed up and drive on out to the folks' place, which is about an hour and a half drive, and be there in time for dinner. So to make absolutely certain that the show gets done and posted and ready to go for you guys, I got to do this now. It's the only way to be sure. I mean, the longer I wait, the more chance I take. Odds are I won't live to see tomorrow. So here we go. That was embarrassing. Let me ellipse one more time. I do this music jam on Tuesday nights, where I just sing with some people who are playing musical instruments. One of the songs we do is Secret Agent Man, and it's totally embarrassing. I blanked on one of the lines. I couldn't remember what to say next. And the line I blanked on was, with every move he makes, another chance he takes. And the following line is, odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. So trying to keep that in my head at all times so I don't forget it again. And then, of course, what will happen is I'll forget something else. But anyway, it's fun stuff. I enjoy it. My voice generally doesn't get recovered until Tuesday. I'm still a bit hoarse from it. And, of course, I still have this issue with the tooth that I had the root canal on that never got finished, and it's sort of scraping against the side of my tongue. And every time I do the singing, it tends to rub against my tongue and makes it kind of sore, and then it's difficult for me to sing or to even speak. Oh, Mudtoe, you have such a terrible life. I know. I'm sorry. Sorry to complain. I'm just saying things that are happening and hoping they resonate somewhere. Someone else out there has an incomplete root canal that's rubbing their tongue off. You'll know what I'm talking about. So, with that preface, it's early in the morning, and here doing this for, I had actually pulled the. Okay, what's happening here? There we go. I'm sorry, I don't multitask well. Last night I pulled the card, the fifth card last night. Not sure. I just felt like I was trying to. I was cooking, and I was trying to do things while I was cooking to keep myself busy, to keep myself out of the cookies. I don't actually have cookies. I have those fruit bars, I guess you too. But I mean, they're almost like people treat them like they're healthy, but they're actually kind of like Pop-Tarts, those little fruit bars. And I find that if I'm idle, I piece on those. So I was trying to find keep busy with other things while my food was cooking. And I had leftover meatballs from the Italian restaurant next door, and I made up some pasta shells to go with it. And I got to be careful with pasta because it doesn't agree very well with this medication I take. I have to control my intake of pasta, which is difficult because I'm a pasta freak. But in any case, you're going to have to, like, I don't know, someone's going to have to punish me for saying in any case. But in any case, pulled the card, the card number 5, and again to remind you, it's a sequence of 8 cards, and I have them in a layout which I'm calling a double medicine wheel layout, and it's also kind of a cross layout that harkens back to my Christian heritage. But it's 8 cards, 2 of them on each sort of spoke of this cross. But then the inner course of 4 cards forms a medicine wheel, and then the outer course forms a second medicine wheel. So the first 4 cards have already formed. We've already got the inner one finished. We're starting on the outer one, and we're starting at the west door, which is the Sixth Council door. And the card I pulled was a major arcana card, and it is the Dance of the Spirits. It indicates the beginning of a new cycle, the call of destiny, or the voice of the gods, which is kind of an odd thing to show up at Sixth Council, because the implication is you're talking to people you know. You know, they'd be sort of terrestrial rather than celestial people. Let me just describe the card for you real quick. It's number 10 in the major arcana, or arcana. I've never heard the word pronounced, so I don't know exactly how you're supposed to say it. According to the pronunciation rules in English, it would be arcana, but so that's what I've been saying. But there's a big old drum in the sky, and a person in native dress one might say worshiping. I would say if he was on his knees, I would say worshiping, but he's standing up, and he has his hands spread out, so I'd say it's more of a meditation or a welcoming gesture than a worshiping gesture. He's out, looks like, in the desert, under a kind of a bare tree, and it's a pink sky with clouds going by. But it's the drum presented as the image is standing for the spirits, and it's very grand, it's very large, and it's like a symbolic of this large change or large almost announcement. So I wondered how that maps on to Sikh's Council. Again, because Sikh's Council is you're talking to your friends and neighbors, or maybe someone who has traveled for many miles to sit with you in your drum circle or your sweat lodge, and you're seeking their advice. This isn't so much the advice of friends and neighbors as it is something coming from the heavens. It's not even advice. It's a thing that's happening. I got to thinking about that, and I thought about the advice I've gotten in ceremony, and there have been times when that advice led me to something sort of cataclysmic in my life. One of those things being taking on the sort of name and persona of Mudtoe Sasquatch. That's something that happened in Sweat Lodge. I don't remember, unfortunately, exactly which door that it happened at, but it came from people. I mean, the name was given to me by other people. Mudtoe was given to me by a stranger, someone I'd never met before, and I don't believe I've ever met since. And Sasquatch was given to me by Chief Iggy. And these are both, this idea very changed everything. Not right away, my life, the way I deal with the outside world, my understanding of my place in it as a spiritual being, all springs from that moment. And you know, those are all things that the changes that come from. Well, I don't want to say come from, but they it's a path that's offered, you know, by heavenly beings and spirits. You know, and they're up at the next door. Maybe they're just kind of, hey, you know, we're up here. In any case, that's, you know, looking at the card in isolation, what we're going to do when all eight cards are in place is see what sort of, you know, I don't think patterns is the right word. The word used in my resource is sentences. You're starting to look at each card is a phrase, and you put them together into sentences. The book I'm using is Tarot 101 by Kim Huggins, and it's about traditional tarot, and I'm tying that in with the shaman tarot, which is simply the traditional tarot with shaman symbols replacing the traditional symbols. I'm trying to make cross reference and find make some meaning in that way. So that's card number 5. We're getting close to the full and complete reading. And I make no claim to be a tarot reader. I'm trying to learn something about it and become a better shaman, or more, more complete shaman. That's not really what I mean. Just add something to my tool set. That's what's happening. Have something more to offer. This is something that the Shaman Tarot deck was given to me by Chief Iggy, with the suggestion isn't the right word. Early in the morning, I have problems with finding the right word, so please be patient. What expresses exactly what it is? I mean, it's not really an admonition. Chief Iggy doesn't require me to do this. He encourages me to press my spiritual experience into new areas, and so I want to respond to that. And congratulations to Chief Iggy and his wife Susie, by the way, on the birth of their second grandchild. So they're ahead of me now. I only have one, and they have two. They've gotten there too in the past year. Their kids out there expanding the tribe to beautiful, beautiful little babies. a boy and a girl. It's marvelous. It's so difficult to be a cynic when you're looking at a picture of a baby. And anyway, I guess there are some situations of babies aren't, you know, I'm not going to go there. This is a happy thought. We're going to keep it a happy thought. I'm not going to go into sad or ironic territory. This is I'm sending happy energy, congratulation energy to Chief Iggy and his family. And I'm not going to take that in any other place or direction. Happiness, congratulation, not worried about anything else. Okay. Now, in the time I have remaining, let's go to politics. Oh, I hate politics because I think more than any, I haven't decided whether it's politics or sports that divide people more. I think there are a lot of similarities in the two worlds. I don't want to really get into that. I know I've lost friends, not so much over politics, but over the election process, because I seldom vote, and not voting upsets a lot of people. You get, I think you can gauge people's mood very, very easily. The mood of the populace is easy to divine from Facebook, the tenor of Facebook posts. And you see a lot of, you know, you see a lot of Susan B. Anthony getting beat up, and, you know, she got beat up for your right to vote. Now, you know, are you going to just sit there? You know, and that usually applies specifically to women. But there are other, you know, others. There's, you know, black people who got beat up for your right to vote, and, you know, people who left Europe for your right to vote. The implication being, you're a piece of shit if you don't vote. I don't vote because there's nobody I particularly want to vote for. I find there's no one who represents me. The biggest reason being I'm not a millionaire. And if I'll go, like, say there if there's a local issue that has some importance to me, I've gone for that reason and then stayed for the rest. I remember there's a time that I believe no less a person than President Obama had suggested maybe we needed a rule to make, or a law to make, voting mandatory. And it shocks me how often people expose their lack of understanding of the system we have. It's all about having, you know, freedom is all about the right to not vote if you don't want to. Is that South Park episode where vote or die? The kid wanted to. He didn't. They had to vote on, you know, what the new nickname of the South Park, because the South Park cows was considered offensive. So they had two choices, and he didn't. I can't remember whether it was Kenny or which one it was. No, it wasn't Kenny. But they hunted him down and brought him in and forced him to vote. And then the ending irony was his vote didn't even matter. It was lopsided in the other direction. But, you know, I'm looking at this, you know, specifically, of course, the big festival that goes on this year, had already started last year, is the presidential election. And I think it's less important who the president is than it has been at any time in our history. And I say that advisedly because I haven't been around for much of our history, so I don't know, you know, personally. Constitutionally, our president doesn't have a lot of power. And it's fun, I see these posts, you know, Donald Trump is going to overturn the decision on gay people being allowed to get married. Or you have a petition. Oh, that's always fun because petitions always work. We would put together a petition to, tell the Congress to overturn Citizens United. I've sort of strayed now. Now I'm talking about the Congress. Let's stick with the president. The president can't overturn things. And I wonder if the people who write these strident political posts understand that. I mean, if they do, then they're writing something that doesn't make sense. So it becomes, you know, you're either a knave or a fool. You're trying to deceive me into thinking that if I vote for your candidate or vote, usually it's vote against. That's how it usually goes. You don't see, at least, you know, people say what they do about Bernie Sanders, but at least most of the things you see about him are from people promoting him, not from people tearing down the other candidates. You know, Bernie Sanders, if you vote for Bernie instead of Hillary, you don't see that so much as you see posts, you know, supporting Bernie Sanders, whereas the other candidates are always tearing each other up. And now I've lost where I was going with that. A lot of it is based on, you know, things that aren't going to happen. We postulate, you know, people who are promoting one position go over to the other position and postulate that it will be disastrous somehow. When in fact, the President of the United States has very little power to do anything. His role, it could be his or hers, they've all been his's so far. The President's role is more or less national cheerleader. The President is supposed to set the tone, set the agenda, and then the President works with the Congress to do the people's business, move everything forward, and the Supreme Court is there to evaluate the moves that are made and make sure they fit into the framework established by the Constitution. So even if Donald Trump became president, you know, he can't. It's just not within the power of the president to end gay marriage, to keep everybody with dark skin out of the country, to shut down Apple Computer if they don't stop building all their computers in China. You know, those are things that get demographic, I guess, a certain part of the population excited when they hear those things. But it's not possible. The president can't do that. The president has to get more than 50% of the House of Representatives to go along with whatever's proposed. Then, as a practical matter, 60% of the Senate has to go along. Now, by the rules, it's only 50%, but they have this thing in the Senate called cloture. There's no limit to debate time in the Senate. They keep talking until everybody's talked out. They can take a vote of 60% and shut it down. So what happens when, you know, you have, you know, 52% one party, 48% of the other, and there's something the 48% party really, really, really doesn't want to have happen, that they'll talk it to death. So to be sure that you get, I think something like closing our borders is probably going to take one of those 60% votes to make it happen. So you get 50% of the House of Representatives, you got 60% of the Senate. And then if it's any kind of fundamental change, any sort of challenge to, you know, who can do what when, the Supreme Court's going to have to pass on it too. And that's 5 out of 9 on the Supreme Court. And when the president does get, is like, you know, like so-called Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. It was much different by the time they finally managed to drag it all the way through that process. It's nothing like what was originally proposed. So I don't fear what any presidential candidate might do when they get into office, because it's going to be very difficult for them to do anything. That said, I think if Donald Trump were the nominee of the Republicans, I think I would have to go to the polls and vote for somebody else. I don't know. I don't think I could vote for Hillary Clinton. There's just too much negative history. It would be tough to vote for Bernie Sanders. We agree philosophically on a lot of things, but you just, you know, let's raise taxes. That's not a long-term solution. It's not really a solution at all, because wealthy people can defend themselves. If your taxes go up, if a wealthy person's taxes go up $100,000, they can just fire four people and bring themselves back into balance, except now there's four people who don't have a job. What has to happen to make those very worthy goals of Mr. Sanders come true is the system has to be redesigned from top to bottom. And, you know, I've talked about that on the show before. How does that happen? Well, we need enlightenment, and that's not something that comes quickly. So in lieu of enlightenment, we need people in our government who are going to manage it, who are not going to try and make big sweeping changes, because you're probably going to do more damage than good. I had Obamacare for a while. I lost it because they sent my renewal materials to the wrong address, and the Medicaid office has been working for over 2 months to try and correct that, so I've been walking around without insurance. So I'm probably not the best person to ask about those benefits. I'm fairly pissed off at them right now. And the fact is that without them, I wouldn't have medical insurance at all. But there are things about the system, you know, what's the word I want? Compromises that were made that I think the biggest thing that I don't like about it is that everybody has to do it. It's illegal to not do it. You know, it's not. I'm an outlaw. I don't have insurance right now, and there's no way I can get it. There's no way I can pay for it. And I'm eligible for Medicaid, but you can't. You know, they're over there. Fooling around. I don't know what the hell the problem is. They don't know what the problem is. I was just with my caseworker yesterday on the phone with them, trying, and nobody knows why, you know, my benefits haven't been restored. And then I go on Facebook and there's people, you know, attacking me for even taking, not me personally. It's a general attack on poor people, because, you know, it's easy to make fun of poor people. Nobody really wants to stand. You're considered weak if you stand up for poor people. And a lot of poor people make it tough on me to defend them. That's certainly true. And you know, there's more. This has to be behind my sudden, you know, interest in going to job fairs and whatnot. You know, maybe I become very, you know, very satisfied with being, you know, being on Medicaid and taking the food stamps and making whatever else I needed from this day job at Ohio State. But certainly you're at the mercy of the bureaucrats when you do that, and it's not the most fun place in the world to be. I don't know if I ever came to a conclusion about, I'm past my time. I don't think I came to a conclusion about the presidency. I was building to one. I guess for me to go in the polls in November again, it would require, you know, I would go to vote against Donald Trump. That's about the only, just on general principle. I mean, do mega rich men have to have everything? You've already got, you know, the business system in your pocket, the banking system in your pocket. You have to have the White House too. And I don't think Donald Trump is serious about it. I'm still expecting that he will drop out at some point, because I believe, I haven't been able to confirm this, but I believe the president is required to give up control of his businesses while he's president, because, hey, it's a big fat conflict of interest, and also has to make their tax returns public. I just don't see Mr. Trump doing that. He'll make a big speech about how unfair it is, and then he'll drop out. That's what I'm seeing. But in any case, you know, who else? I mean, Ted Cruz, I don't know, maybe I would have to show up to vote against him, but you know, there are a lot of zealots out there. I don't know who's out there. There's no one for me. Sanders is close, but No one to believe in. A little bit of that 51-year-old guy cynicism creeping in. There's nobody to believe in anymore, so what's the point? And with those inspiring words, I think I'm going to leave you for tonight. Please come back next week. I will not be talking about the presidential election. We'll think of something. I'll make a concerted effort to have something more cheerful to talk about next week. And we will also be talking about card number 6, and maybe have pulled a few cross tarot system insights by that point. So please come back. Fridays at midnight, I'm here. And thank you for listening. Have a pleasant good evening.